Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Rhys Harry. How are you, Rhys?
Very good, thank you, Chris. Very good indeed.
Excellent. You're from the reasonably good...
Yes.
What is it, reasonably good graphic design, or...
We're just called reasonably good.
Reasonably good.
I mean, we do graphic design, but we're just called reasonably good.
That's quite... That really says what you're about, really, isn't it? It's almost good, reasonably.
Yeah, we thought we'd go... We set up a long time ago, and we thought we'd go for a bit of a tongue-in-cheek name. But the point was to get across that we are honest, rather than a bit sort of fly-by-night and smoke and mirrors. So we wanted to just say something that makes people smile, but also gets across the fact that there's going to be no BS, that we're honest about it.
Okay. The reason we got you here is because you're graphic designers. You do a little bit of website building, email.
Yep.
You know, the classic stuff that you'd expect a modern-day graphic designer to do.
Yes.
But you've got some pretty good clients.
Yes.
So what I wanted to do was, or wine clients, and what I wanted to do is just maybe... Not necessarily talk specifically about clients because you've got confidentiality and
of
all
course,
that sort
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah.
But look at maybe your point of view, looking into the wine trade from your point of view, as opposed to normally I talk to wine people and they're looking internally, a bit of navel gazing.
Yeah.
It's quite nice to get someone outside looking in. So,
yeah, sure.
Before we get into it, can you mention a couple of your clients just that people might have heard of before?
Yeah, of course. I think probably our headline wine client would be Jancis Robinson. We do a lot of work for Jancis and their team, which is great. We've worked for them for probably about 3 years now. They're all lovely people.
Is that because they did a relaunch of their website about 3 years ago? Or
we initially started doing a lot of email stuff for them, and that's how we started doing
their purple pages.
Yes, yeah, about 3 years ago. And then recently, in the last year or so, we've started taking over a lot of their sort of website, ongoing website work, which is all pretty techie stuff, to be honest. It's all sort of, I think Jancis described it as the sort of the legs of the swan underneath the water, furiously pedaling to keep the swan going. All of that stuff in the background just to make sure the website works well and keeps going and looks and works great.
Okay, so Jancis, any others?
Yes, yeah, we work for a sort of longest standing wine client would be Gavin Quinney at Chateau Bourduc, who a lot of you may not have heard of, but he's a lot of people within the wine world probably know Gavin because he's out and about a lot and talks to a lot of people and pretty influential. He writes as well for, I think, LiveX and Harper's and writes for Jancis' site as well, I think. So a lot of people within the wine world will have heard of Gavin Quinney, I think.
Yeah.
He's quite a character as well.
I met him yesterday, actually. I didn't interview him, sadly, but people were going, oh, you should interview this guy.
Yeah, if you can interview Gavin, it'd be a good interview. He'd be good. He's a character, and he knows a lot of stuff about the people in the wine trade, so he might get himself in trouble.
sounds like a perfect person.
Yeah. We work for wine merchants, we work for wine investment people. I think you've done a podcast with Nick Martin at Wine Owners a while ago.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, we know Nick pretty well, hoping to bump into him today as well. So we've worked for them for quite a while as well. And various other sorts, there's some small local wine merchants. So
you're
local,
based up north?
We are in Chester, yeah, in the northwest. So we work for wine merchants up there. And some wine merchants. We work for Private Cellar, who are not here today, I don't think, but sell direct to quite a lot of people around the southeast, I think. We do a lot of stuff for them as well. Again, lovely people. We go to their annual wine tasting gig somewhere in London every year and say hello to them, and that's always a nice do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying to think who else we work for.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
That's close enough. Quite a good handful anyway.
Well, I think what's good for us is it's a range. You know, so we've got people like Jancis who are on the sort of writing and sort of reporting side, and we've got people who make wine like Gavin, and we've got people who sell wine, and we've got people who are dealing strictly with wine investment. So we get to see quite a lot of angles on the industry. It's really interesting.
Well, looking at the wine trade, you know, not necessarily specifically your clients or anything like that, but any information you can draw on, what would you say is the state of the UK's online marketing and the online positioning of people? You know, is there any conclusions you can draw from looking at the breadth of customers you've got?
Depends what you mean by UK. Do you mean UK producers or just the UK trade in general?
Just UK trade in general. Just wine, really. The wine.
Yeah. I think from our outside perspective, I think the industry can feel like some other industries, a touch antiquated in the way it works. As you know, I think when we came to it anew, we expected the interest, the sort of technical intricacies of wine itself to be a bit involved and be sort of really detailed, I think. But the more we got to know the industry, we didn't realize that there's some real sort of long-standing ways in which everything works in the wine trade. I think in the last few years, we've noticed that that seems to be changing. A lot of people are more sort of ready to change things, but it still seems like it is one of those things because it's been so long-standing that things are done a certain way, and they always have been, and they always will do. And I think that's still quite pervasive, and I think we see that quite a lot. So we don't do much, if any, work for people in, say, the New World, and I can imagine that they're sort of maybe more ready to embrace new ways of doing things in terms of marketing or sales or distribution or what have you. So I think it would be interesting to work with people who work in wine in other parts of the world to see their take on it. But for in terms of the UK, like some other long-standing industries work for you, can be a little bit stuck in the past, perhaps, in some sectors.
Can you give an example?
I'm not sure I could give you a specific example. More just a sort of general feeling of when discussing work with some people, just the way things are, the way we say, the way we'd work and the way we'd go about things. Just, well, you know, maybe we should do it this way, maybe we should do it that way. And just maybe struggling to get a way of doing things across to people who might expect it to be done a certain way because of the way they've always done it, their side.
And you're talking about the internal procedures in terms of...
Yeah, just a sort of willingness to sort of change what you're doing, or not to adapt as such. I think most people are willing to adapt and sort of... just maybe sort of a willingness to sort of take on a new idea and do something totally differently in a totally different way when things have always been done a certain way. So I don't think I could give you a specific example now, sorry.
Okay. All right. You've seen different parts of the industry. What are the most interesting parts from a designer's point of view? You know, whether is it working with wineries, working with consumers, internal wineries, communicators? Where is the fun for you?
I think probably more with the producers. That's probably where you're going to get, as a designer, you're going to get most reward, because then you're usually involved with the sort of direct telling of a story. So that's what it's all about for the producers. If they're, say, selling direct to consumers, they've really got to get their story
attention.
Yeah, and get their story across. And that's when it becomes really rewarding for ourselves, more so personally than, say, if you had to sort of get something technical right, where you've got to get, say, a website right that works in a certain technical way and get some data and does a certain thing with it. You know, it's more rewarding to sort of see something flourishing, like a story flourishing for a small producer. I'd say that's probably the most rewarding.
Okay. So you've worked for a few small producers, by the sounds of it. You mentioned Gavin as well, down in the south of France.
Yes.
He does business to consumer, so he's a winery that sells directly through to consumers.
That's right, yeah.
Is that the sort of thing that you're talking about? Or
I'd say that's probably most rewarding, because you get to see both ends of the channel, from producer making the wine and the sort of trials and tribulations of actually having to, you know, grow the grapes and make the product, to then actually selling bottles wherever they do. So you get to see sort of both ends of the spectrum, and I think that's why it's really rewarding, because you get to have a lot more involvement in the whole project, rather than just, say, if you're working for a company where you're just sort of one sort of cog in the machine of the company, and you know, where you're just sort of technical support on one sort of bit of a website or something like that. I think the more of the business you can see, ultimately, the more rewarding it is, because you get to live it a bit more with them, and sort of it becomes a bit more, you know, like family, because you get to see the ups and downs of it.
Yeah. Have you looked at some of the marketing material coming out of places like Laithwaite or Naked Wines?
Yeah, we see...
Because they do a lot of stories, yes, and imagery. Yeah, and, you know, yeah, they really invest in that side of things.
Definitely. And I think I think that's what's successful. That's what we like, is when people in there, you know, if a company's big enough to have a marketing team where they get that people are interested in the story behind the wine as much as the wine itself. I think we see that time and time again. I was at a wine tasting in Chester last week for a client of ours who does their sort of annual portfolio wine tasting thing. And I was going around the tables tasting wine and saying hello to people. But
you were mainly saying hello to people.
Oh, no, mainly no, saying no. Hello to people. It was strictly business. and that's one of the perks of working for wine clients, is you do get to go to wine tastings and taste some really good wines. It's great. But yeah, time and time and again that evening, People were stood to either talking to the producers or the guy that represents a co-op of producers, or even if it's just a distributor who knows a lot about the producers. Time and time again, just talking about who makes the wine, how they, less sort of about the technicalities of how they make it, and great varieties and conditions and vintages and weather and all that sort of, all the technical bits and pieces that that probably should be interesting, more just about the story. You know, if someone's talking about, you know, production's down this year because there was a terrible, you know, frost or what have you that's been going on a lot at the moment, or, you know, we've just invested in this great big machine that does XYZ and it's great because now we can go over to that field and do that. Just anything that just makes for a good story. You see people really sort of, well, you know, drinking it in, to use a rubbish metaphor. People really listening, because I think people are looking for some wine to take them by. They're probably going to enjoy it with friends at a dinner party or something. They could say, you know, well, we've got this wine because there's this guy in Italy and, you know, something like he broke his leg and he fell over, then he met his wife and he started a vineyard and blah, 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 and the story's great.
Yeah, and the stories are important.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, my business partner quite often says, you know, sell the sizzle, not the sausage, just as a bit of a sort of way to say, you know, people buy for emotive reasons, less so for about, you know, the nuts and bolts of something. If there's, you know, a really sort of like nice reason to buy something, they'll be a lot more warm to buying it rather than just because, you know, you can say any wine tastes great, or you can say this does that well or that does that well. But if there's some more sort of warm, sort of like human aspect to it, then people always connect with that.
And I suppose when you're doing graphic design and that type of thing, if you've got a story, then you've got a theme for the page or whatever it is that you're creating, so
yeah,
that it
definitely,
it gives you something to tie into.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, when we're working with a new client, we'll always try and find out as much as we can about them. And sometimes I'll say, well, you know, I don't know what we need to say. I think we should just do X, Y, Z. And they make it sound like it might be a bit cold, but we have to say to them, well, you're sort of approaching it from someone who's done it for a long time. You're used to it, and you can't, you're maybe failing to see anything interesting about the place or what you do. Us looking at it from this perspective, we've noticed that, you know, even just something small, like you've got this great, huge, impressive archway on the way into your winery, or just how has that come about? Or why is that over there? Or why does that look like that? Or why are you called this? And, you know, you've got to remember that it doesn't take much to start a really good story. So you've just got to remember that people who are coming to you fresh don't know anything about you. So everyone's got a good story. You've just got to sort of like dig deep and think about it and think, you know, even if it's just some weird family traits that go into the story, that's probably better.
Just for someone who doesn't know much about marketing, i.e. myself,
yep.
What are the sort of the key media or materials that you get involved in that you think are quite effective for wineries?
For sort of producers themselves, you know, if you're selling direct to consumers, which I think is tough, then you will need a website. That's sort of unavoidable, really, I'd say.
You get some people trying to do it just, I've seen a lot of websites that are just basically Facebook pages or something along those lines.
I think if you can do it that way, then great. And I think with some people, we would say just do it by any means necessary. As long as you can get people to your product online and you can sell it somehow online, then great. But, you know, a website is good, and I think that's becoming cheaper and cheaper to do it well, or even, you know, free to do it well for some people, which is great. So you need to do that, but you need to be connecting with customers on an ongoing basis, and you need to be building a bank of customers by continually telling a story and sort of developing on your story. And that's where we see people who do it doing it well, because they sort of get the marketing side, as it were. They don't see sort of marketing as a necessary evil. They see marketing as something beneficial they can use to their advantage to get people to see what they're saying and sell their wine. And we see the people who get that doing well because they use it well and they use the right channels. So, you know, whether it's email marketing, we do email marketing for customers, and if they do it in the right way, then it can really reap benefits for them, because it's just a really good direct way to connect with customers and to get your story in there, sort of week in, week out, or, you know, month in, month out. And again, you know, social media stuff, if you do that right, if you do it well and not in a sort of like repetitive ad nauseum way, then it works really well. And again, you know, free if you do it well.
Emails, I wouldn't say it's old hat, but you know, people talk about the new apps like WhatsApp and all these sort of platforms. Do you see people developing campaigns for that type of thing?
Not at the moment. I think because of our company size, we don't see companies that get to sort of dabble so much in emerging things such as that. I think would be more on the side of people using more tried and tested, because a lot of the people we deal with are going to have a sort of set budget and they need that budget to work. So they're going to want to be using tried and tested methods rather than sort of dabbling with something that may or may not work because, you know, their sort of livelihood for that year could depend on their sort of sales tactics, as it were, to use a cult term. So we would just be saying to people, use the things that we know work. And when you've got, when you're doing well and you've got a bit more marketing budget, by all means, try dabbling in the sort of emerging things like WhatsApp and, you know, those sort of things. But really, it's, we see it as how it has been for the last few years of email does well if you use it well. Social media works well if you use it well.
There's Facebook, Twitter, when you...
Yeah, yeah. Instagram, the, you know, in the last few years, we've seen people really using Instagram well, and that's really taken off. And I think the good thing about sort of, say, growing wine or making wine is that you've got a lot of really good photogenic stuff. So Instagram's perfect, and you can really tell a story with something like that. And again, free to use, just do it well. It's the same with any of these marketing channels. You've just got to do it right for that channel and make sure you don't either bore people or turn people off or just make it too cold. I think we've got to...
Instagram's quite an interesting one for a graphic designer, because you guys are obviously visual media.
Yeah.
Instagram is visual media, really.
Yeah.
But you don't... I don't know if people really... prep things with graphic designers first before they publish.
No, we wouldn't have any involvement in that. So, you know, if our clients are involved in Instagram, we might, you know, we might advise them. If they wanted our advice, we might advise them on do's and don'ts. But, you know, it's just a free thing to do. We'd probably, you know, if they wanted our help, we'd say, yeah, we'd suggest doing this. We'd suggest doing X, Y, Z, maybe not doing X, Y, Z. You know, saying things like, make sure you just keep it on brand, really. Keep it sort of on message, one of the better words, you know, just think about that sort of message that your company is and your winery is or your bottle of wine is, and try and stick to that without being dull, and don't go sort of off piste and just be putting loads of like family snaps on because you think they're funny, that sort of thing. But yeah, we wouldn't have much involvement in that at all. But I think it's great that you've just got these channels now that people, you know, small companies can use to do well and advance themselves, because it means you don't have to, you know, you can compete with the big guys because there's ways in to do it for free yourself.
Okay, Rhys, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Just to finish up, though, do you want to just give us a plug for yourself? So it's Rhys Harry at Reasonably Good. And what's your website?
Our company is Reasonably Good. The website is reasonablygood.com. And we've got lots of nice pictures on there of work we've done over the last sort of 12 or so years, clients we've worked for, and some nice words from some of the clients we've worked for. And we keep the ones that the naughty words about us, we keep those off the website.
Fair enough.
But yeah, and some of our wine clients, and you know, plenty of other people that work for us as well.
Excellent. All right then. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Cheers, bud.